in our hymns. And what I've tried to do is to choose 16. I chose 16 because that makes 8 tapes, and 8 tapes fit into an album, and sometimes we sell these tapes in albums, sometimes we don't, make them available in albums, and we have 8 tape albums that are available, and I don't know exactly what we may do with it later on, but 16 makes a good working number in a lot of the series that I do, and I hope is not exhausting to you to deal with this over a period of 16 different Sunday mornings. But we try to choose songs that are biblically sound, that have a message, and that are scripturally sound and solid. And certainly, this song, Jesus Paid It All, is very much like that. In the book of Romans, chapter number 10, verses 1 through 4, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's religion. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That is religion. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That is the Christian faith. There is a definite and a clear contrast between the two. There has never been a hymn written that made a more biblical statement in its title than this hymn does. Jesus Paid It All. And we sing songs like that sometimes, and we really fail to see the definitive nature of the title, what it really has to say. Now, this does not merely magnify the payment that the Lord Jesus paid a great price. He bought us. He purchased us. He washed us from His sins in His own blood. And all of those things are true, and they wonderfully praise God. But this song says something that is very different, and it is very important. And that is that Jesus made the entire payment. It is all in all. I want you to see if you can get that to stay in your minds and keep it throughout the message, because a lot of people say Jesus paid it all, and they don't mean Jesus paid it all. A lot of people say Jesus paid it all, and they don't believe Jesus paid it all. There is yet something that is absolutely undone. Indeed, many people will sing Jesus paid it all, and they fully believe, I mean they 100% believe, that still, if I do nothing, all He paid is worth nothing. And a lot of those people fill Baptist pews. I'm sorry to say, but it is true. Now, this song makes reference to the greatness of His saving power. Not only that, but it goes all the way through and it speaks of the consummation of our salvation. When I stand before His throne, my lips shall still repeat. And it says that all of this is done by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to simply take 4 statements this morning, 4 points that will come from these four verses. Number 1, this song declares our weakness and dependency upon Him. It declares our weakness and dependency on Him. The first verse says, I hear my Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Now listen, find in me thine all in all. Not the substitute for the strength you don't have. Not the finishing out of what you can't do. Not the overcoming of those areas where you have been defeated. Everything. Jesus Christ is either all in all or He is nothing at all to you. If He is just a battle cry, if He is just a starting place, He is nothing at all to you. Now, this song in this first verse declares our inherent weakness. I want you to notice, if you would, Matthew 26:31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Now, He's talking to the apostles. He's talking to the men who have walked with him now for 3.5 years, and they are the strongest of the strong, if there could be any such thing among men, and there really isn't in that day and time. If you was looking around to say, who will stand, these men would be the men you would have chosen. And he said, all of you will be offended because of me, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. In other words, the Lord says that the scripture, the Old Testament prophecy that says, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered abroad, is talking about you fellows. And you're going to be offended because of me. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter said, now not me. I mean, I know that Steve and Lester and Gerald and Larry and Chuck and so on down the line, but not me. Isn't that the way we tend to think? And that's the way Peter thought. Yes, all of these other men may fall by the wayside, but I know how I feel. I know how committed I am. I know what took place in my heart. We don't know much at all. We don't know much about it at all. And so he said, all of you. Peter said, not me. They may be, but not me. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter insisted that that wouldn't happen. But he said it will. Why? Because we actually have no strength at all. We're not only void of saving strength. In other words, we not only cannot save ourselves, we cannot do anything to keep ourselves. Remember what he said in Romans chapter number 10 and verse 3 that I read a moment ago? They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. You say, we wouldn't do that, wouldn't we? Listen to me, brethren. Listen to me, ladies. Listen to me. About 90% of all of the discussion of Christianity and religion that we hear nowadays will be a form of bragging. I'm amazed sometimes. I get Christmas letters, people bragging on their families. Praise God if He has blessed you with a good family. That's wonderful. I hear testimonies sometimes here and blessings, and in many instances it's bragging. It is indeed, and you don't have to like this, this is free. It is indeed a form of saying, I'm glad we're not like the neighbors down the road. I'm glad we're not like other weak Christians that stumble and fall and mess up. This is a chink in our armor. This is a weakness in our flesh. And listen, every one of us has a tendency to think, I'm glad I'm not like the rest of them. Peter said, I'm not like the rest of them. Lord, I want you to know something. I got the stuff it takes. I'm made out of the right stuff. I'll stay with you. They may deny you, but I won't. He said that before the cock crows, you'll deny me. Now, he has emphatically stated this to these people. He does later, without me, you can do nothing. A little bit of victory. I mean, we pray and we get a prayer answered. We set a goal in our lives and we accomplish it, and the first thing we know, we are just so filled with pride that we think, I can do anything. And we're quoting scriptures that prove that we got it together. We can do it, brother. I mean, we may have to have the help of God after all, but we can do it. All we got to do is just solicit the help of God, and we pray, and if we pray right and if we do it right, we can do it. Even the promise of grace puffs our hearts up. I mean, let me show you what I'm talking about. God is going to do some wonderful things through the people in this congregation in the next year. Not just as a church. You say, how do you know? He did last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. I know he is, unless he comes back again. That's what he does. I know that. Not only that, but he's going to do some wonderful things in the lives of some of you folks out there, in your homes, in your families, with your children. He's going to use some of you to be a blessing to others. Good things. Laudable things. No doubt about it. I know that. But if somehow we could just know, I mean, if somehow we could just have a list of the things that God is going to do with us this year, and we could just read the list, it would so puff us up we wouldn't be worth killing. That's what we're like. We have that nature. We get all puffed up. I want you to notice how the Lord said to Peter in Luke 22, 31 and 34. Listen to it. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said, listen to this. Same thing we was talking about a while ago, just comes in a little different context, and an enlightening context. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me, or deny that thou knowest me. The Lord said, Peter, I'm going to use you. I prayed for you, and when you're strengthened, I want you, or when you're converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. And Peter said, oh, I got it. I got it, Lord. I'm the one. I'm the chosen one. These guys may stumble. Just the promise of blessing. And he comes unglued at the seam and starts acting like a heathen. That's the way we are. We need to know something. This weakness is real. It's not just an explanation of how we lost a ball game. It's not just some kind of a statement as to why we got into an argument with our wife and said some things we ought not to have said. It is a commentary on everything that we do, everything about us, and everything within us. We're without strength. What should we do? Child of weakness, watch and pray. Isn't that what he said to Peter? Peter, I know that you're willing. I know the Spirit is willing, Peter. I know that in your heart you have decided to follow Jesus. I know that you are resolved not to linger with the world's delights. I know that, Peter, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is helpless. Can't do anything. This is a marvelous biblical teaching. Secondly, and I have to hurry along now, when our weakness is discovered, then our strength appears. Now, this is a paradox of paradoxes. He said, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. The songwriter says, all right, I see this. It's only your power. That's all. It's all your power. Thy power and thine alone. Not your power plus mine. Not my power and my will and my choice and my decision and all of that garbage with your blessing. Not that at all. Thy power and thine alone. Again, Jesus is all in all or nothing at all. And I think one of the greatest paradoxes is this, that in our weakness, strength is found. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. And lest I should be exalted above measure. See, that's what happened to Pete in Peter's heart when the Lord said, strengthen the brethren. He said, I got it. You called on the right man. I mean, I don't know how you figure that out, Lord, but you called on the right man. I'm made out of the right stuff. I got the right stuff. Though all others will forsake you, I won't. I mean, I've thought this thing over, and I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to go to death. If they kill me, I'm not going to deny you. I got it. And most people think, listen to me, we tend to think that that kind of dedication and that kind of determination and that kind of resolution is the key to victory. But listen to these verses. And lest I should be exalted above measure through abundance of revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, don't speculate much on what this was. It doesn't matter. And most of the speculation I've heard is ridiculous. But whatever it was something that was not going to exalt Paul. Somebody said he was almost blind, and he just struggled on for the Lord. No. It was not something. I don't know whether he's blind or not. I don't know if he could see twice as good as Moses could. I don't know. I don't know that, and you don't know either. Somebody said, well, the Bible says he wrote a large letter, and so he must have had bad eyesight. Oh, come on. I mean, that's great imagination. Not any biblical foundation for it whatsoever. But we do know this, that whatever was going to happen to Paul, it was not going to exalt him. It was not going to make him a hero. It was going to make him look little. It was going to make him look weak. It was going to make him look like a failure. That's what it was about. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen to that. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God needs some strong, dedicated men. Isn't that what we hear all the time? God needs some men of real resolution. God needs some men of character. God is looking for men that have this and this and this. Oh, come on. God hadn't had any manhunts. God doesn't go out looking for dedicated Christians. He makes them. That foolishness out of our heads and not think like that. God help us. He goes on to say, for my strength is made perfect, not in strength and resolution, but in weakness. And Paul answers, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Some years ago, many years ago, long time ago, before I was pastoring the church, I was just a member. I don't know if I was teaching a class or anything, but from the time I joined the church, I worked on the building every day for the first 17 and a half years, I guess. At least that long. I mean, seriously, every week I was over here at least one, sometimes two work nights, and then on Saturday. And Brother Minnick was gone somewhere off up in Ohio, I think, and his son, Tom, just a little bitty boy at the time, 2 or 3, 4 years old, talking good, but about probably 4. I believe he would have been 4. And I was down there putting sheetrock in what used to be the old auditorium. It's over there now. None of it exists except just the outside walls. All of it's gone. But I was over there nailing up sheetrock and a couple of other men working in there, and Tom came down, a little old bitty red-headed boy, and he had this nail sack and had a hat cap turned around on the side of his head, and he was this little kid, boy, I mean, he was a threat to progress. I mean, he was born that way. But anyhow, he come down and he looked at me and said, I'll knock some nails. Well, I really didn't have time to fix up the mess he was going to make, so I took a piece of sheetrock, and I don't even remember exactly how I did it, but I tacked it to a post or something there, a wooden post, where he could knock some nails. And I said, okay, put nails in that. It's just a scrap of sheetrock, and put some nails in that. And so he got over there, and he bent through 2 or 3 nails, you know, and even in just a sheetrock, you know, and he was over there whacking at this nail with his hammer. And in a minute, he come over there where I was working. He said, my daddy's the best nail knocker in the world. And I said, good. And he went back, and he come back in a little bit, and he said, I'm the second best nail knocker in the world. And then he went back over there and he got this hammer and he started pecking. I said, that's good. You're doing a good job. And a little encouragement, and boy, he drove a nail all the way in. Didn't hit it but about 35 times. And he drove that nail all the way in without bending it. And he turned around and he come back over there and he looked at me and he said, I'm the best nail knocker in the world. All of a sudden, I'm the best in the world. Listen, we think like that. That's our nature. God help us, we just get all bent out of shape if God blesses us just a little bit. You know what I'm talking? It's our nature. You know, listen, folks, please hear this. This is doctrinal, but I want you to hear it. There is a great deal of philosophy today in the world. It is in many Baptist churches who says Jesus has done so much. He gave himself for us on Calvary's cross. He died and paid the price for our sins. But if we don't do our part, now I don't mean this is a quotation, this is a philosophy. But if we don't do our part, what he did is worth nothing at all. That is garbage, that is blasphemous slop. I mean, it really is. I know some are going to misunderstand that, but I just want you to get that fixed. The epitome of false religion is the philosophy of combination justification. What do I mean that by that? I mean the philosophy that part of our purity, part of our salvation, part of our eternal life is what God has done, and the rest is up to us. And if it is nothing but thumbing your galluses over your choice, it's ungodly. If it's nothing but thumbing your galluses over your decision, it's ungodly. It's ungodly. And this songwriter understood that. He knew that. This great truth does not negate human responsibility. We are responsible to repent and believe. But I've got news for you. The doctrine that the ability to repent and believe is within the natural man is of the devil. It is a doctrine out of hell. It is not in the Bible, and is one of the most damning influences in the so-called Christian world today. The same power, the same purpose, the same God who gave his Son to die upon the cross calls us to faith and repentance and moves in our heart in such a way to make us able to believe and repent. You say, I made a choice. I know that. But don't brag about it, because God caused it. God persuaded you. You say, I repented. I know that. If you're saved, certainly you repented. There is no salvation without repentance. But don't brag about it. Give credit to God. God gave you the gift of repentance, and the Bible is most clear upon that. It's so important that we just get rid of the garbage, the ideas that we did something, and say, Jesus did it all. He paid it all. It's all of him. Thirdly and quickly, grace is not attained, it is bestowed freely. Now listen carefully. This is almost a message in itself, but I'm going to try to get through on time. Nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. So much so-called gospel preaching today is, if you will only do this, God will finish it out for you. If only you'll just do this, you can claim the grace of God. If only you'll just take this step. If only you'll make this move. If only you'll do this little thing, the grace of God will be abundantly supplied. This songwriter knew better than that foolishness. Nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. There's not anything I can do that would give me the right to claim the grace of God. It comes from above. Human error will embrace grace. The Catholic Pope, riding through the Philippines, at least trying to. I tell you what, I'd rather hide in the shadows of obscurity like I do when I'm over there and ride around the Pope Mobile. I mean, I wouldn't want any part of that thing. Of course, I mean, they've got him pretty well insulated, but I still, I know enough about the Philippines to know that I wouldn't give you $3.50 for his carcass. Of course, I wouldn't give you $4 before he went over there, but I'm sorry, that's free. You don't have to take that. But anyhow, I'm just saying that he would tell you that salvation is by grace. You go ask him, Pope, is salvation by grace? Well, sure, salvation is by grace. He'll say that. The Pentecostal will say that. But listen, that grace comes only on the basis of some goodness. All of the sacerdotalists, like the Catholics, the Presbyterians, all the people that baptize infants in order to get them to heaven, all of those people will say, sure, salvation is by grace. Listen, all you have to do is to avail yourself of the means of grace. Just do the things that are necessary for God to give you that grace. You just avail yourself of the means of grace. This songwriter knew of that heresy. And he said, nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I can't do anything to have a right to claim your grace. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, we're justified freely. You know that word freely is the same word that is translated from when the scriptures brought over from the book of Psalms, and he quotes it in the Gospels, and it says, they hated me without a cause. Without a cause comes from the same Greek word as the word freely here. He justified us without a cause. What did I do to cause him to wash my sins away in his blood? What did I do to cause him to call me? What did I do to cause him to give me the gift of faith? What did I do to cause him to give me the gift of repentance? I didn't do anything. He did it without a cause. He did it freely, free for nothing. Error always wants to use the term justified by his blood and justified by faith as a combination. Sure, we're justified partly by his blood and we're justified partly by faith. No, we're not. We're justified 100% by his blood, and we're justified 100% by faith, and we're justified 100% by grace. Those are different aspects of that justification, but every bit of it comes to us from the grace of God. The blood of Christ came by the grace of God, and the faith by which we receive that offering comes by the grace of God. It's all of God. Last point. When we are glorified, I didn't say if we make it through. If you don't know better than that, you don't know anything about the grace of God. When we are glorified, we must also credit that to Him. Listen to this verse. And when before thy throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died to save my soul, my lips shall still repeat. It's there. That's it. When before thy throne, not if before thy throne I stand complete. The world's religion says, I got to make it to heaven somehow. Isn't that what it is? I got to make it to heaven somehow. I just got to get through. I got to make it through. But Scripture says, listen to me, we are now the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. No question about it. Listen to me, please, and as I read 1 John chapter number 3 and verses 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Where did this come from? Our decision? No. The love of God bestowed upon us. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. You may listen to what I have to say this morning and say, Preacher, I think you're a little bit weird. Well, that wouldn't surprise me too much. The world knoweth us not. The world doesn't like what I'm saying this morning. The world doesn't believe what I'm saying this morning. They don't. They never have. The religious world does not believe what I'm saying this morning. If they understand it, now some of them are too dumb to understand it, but if they know what I'm talking, they don't believe it and they won't like it. They will not. I promise you that. But he says this. It's because of that they don't know us. Now listen. Beloved, verse 2. Now, are we the sons of God? Not a question. We'd say it in our modern day language. We say, we are the sons of God right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You believe He's coming back? I do. Do you believe that when He comes back, all of the sons of God shall be like Him? Well, no use believe one without the other. I mean, the same book says both. If we are the sons of God now, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. The songwriter says, then I'll still repeat this glorious, wonderful phrase. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Listen, folks. This is not a white-knuckle experience. This is not a cliffhanger drama whereby we wonder, can I make it through? Please hear what I'm saying to you. If you're worried about that this morning, you have good reason to worry about it. Did you hear me? If that's what you're worrying about this morning, whether you're going to make, you've got good reason to worry about it. Because you have not yet met my Lord and Savior. You haven't. When you meet Him, when you become a son of God, you begin to learn what He did for you on the cross, you understand what's involved in salvation, then that fear of not making it to heaven will melt away. And you'll begin to look at yourself and say, oh, what a weak, helpless, unprofitable servant I am. And how I need the power of God and the grace of God just to make it from one day to another. This songwriter did not say, if I stand in Him complete, but when I stand in Him complete. And I say the same thing this morning. It's not a question as if, but it's a question of when. You say, preacher, now listen. Most so-called Christian religion today dislikes you if you're a Baptist. Now, there are a lot of people that call themselves Baptists that don't know split beans from coffee about what a Baptist is. I had a young lady called, not young anymore, she's an old lady now. Well, she's a middle-aged lady. She'd be in her early 40s probably. Called me on the phone last week from way up in New England someplace. And she wanted me to send her a copy of her baptismal certificate. She was baptized here in the mid-60s. Wanted me to send a copy of her baptismal certificate because she wanted to take First Communion in the Catholic Church. That was some of the vintage fruits of our bus ministry and children's church. Sorry about that. That's just a fact. That is just a fact. But anyhow, I said to her, we can't do that. And she said, what do you mean you can't? I said, we only grant letters to churches of like faith and order. We don't grant letters to... Well, she said, well, could you just send me one then? No, we do not grant letters to individuals. The church wouldn't grant a letter to me. They would only grant it to a church that I went and joined. They wouldn't grant it to me individually. Well, she doesn't understand anything about that. Now listen, that church and the Arminian churches around this world who believe in falling from grace have traditionally, down through the centuries, hated Baptists. Did you know that in the nation of England, 500 years ago, they would have burned me at the stake for what I did that day? That's right. The Catholic Church, the Catholic movement, 500 years ago in Europe, would have burned me at the stake for failing to grant that request or failing to receive the baptism of a Catholic if I took them and rebaptized them. I am not going to be a traitor and turn my back on that. I don't think they can burn me, but they might. Don't make much difference. I might holler a lot, but I'm not going to change my direction. I don't know what I do, but I'm not going to change my direction. Now, every one of those people, the greatest thing they hate about Baptists is that we will not accept their baptism as being baptism. Nothing but immersion. We never have accepted it. True Baptists never. Now, there's some people today calling themselves Baptist churches that do. They're not Baptist. Don't you fool yourself. They're not Baptist. They never have been. But the second thing for which they hate Baptists, more than anything else perhaps, is that we believe what I've been preaching this morning, and when before thy throne. Not if, but when. And they ask this question almost universally. How can anybody be sure? How can you be sure that you're going to be in heaven? How can anybody be sure of it? This songwriter knew, and he wrote it in the chorus. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He did it. All. You say all the sins before you were saved? All. Not all before, not all after. All. All of my sins. All taken. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I want to ask you something this morning. What is your hope? What is your hope of heaven? You say, listen, I had this glorious feeling back one time when, you know, I got saved and I just had this glorious feeling. Listen, I've had glorious feelings while I was dreaming, while I was asleep. I've won some arguments that just thrill my heart. I've had some things happen. I just woke up laughing. My wife thought I was absolutely insane. Oh, listen, I've had a good time in some dreams. I mean, some things I wouldn't even tell you about. I mean, I've had some real balls in a dream. They have anything in the world to do with Christianity. I've even won some tremendous Bible arguments and dreams. Didn't have anything to do with Christianity. What is your hope? Something you felt? Something you did? I hope your hope is nothing less than the songwriter. The voice is right here. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Eyes closed and hearts lifted to God in prayer.